Amen. Good morning and welcome, welcome, welcome. Again, this is Wonder Working Wednesday. We're inviting you for a couple of seconds to share how God has changed your life, how he's come into your life and showed up and showed off. I know that I'm not the only one excited in the Lord this morning. Amen. It is Wonder Working Wednesday. Does anybody want to share what God has done for them today?
Yes, ma'am. It's Marie Preston. I just want to say I thank God for this day, and I thank God for my papa, because my papa is in the hospital, and his doctors are saying that, hey, ain't nothing but God. That's between him and his God, because papa is just holding on and holding out. And I was talking to him yesterday before they gave him a blood transfusion. He was talking to me, but he resting. I mean, it just, God is just working a miracle in his life. He just, papa is just resting.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah,
we are excited about that. I heard some more chimes. Can you please share your name and where you're calling from on this Wonder Working Wednesday?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. CD Indiana.
I heard Indiana. I heard Texas. We are a growing family. We're so excited in the Lord this morning. This is LaShawn in Delaware, and it is Wonder Working Wednesday. And we're taking this call in prayer because we come before our Father every morning before we do anything. So does anyone else want to share their name, where they're calling from, or what God has done for them today?
Good morning. This is Dr. P.K. Roberts, and I am here in Colorado Springs, and I thank God for an absolutely super fantastic trip, and I just got back in last night. I'm telling you, we take for granted when we get on these planes that we are going to arrive at our destination. I always still pray when I get on the plane. And, you know, I was on the plane and getting ready to take off, and I got the word about Rainey and Arthur, and I called her and prayed with her. And I just thank God this morning to hear the results and that the bleeding has stopped, and that is so important. But more significantly, I would want to thank God this morning for the third anniversary of this call, because the consistency and the persistency, doing a call every day, five days a week is just not an easy task. And I just thank God for all of the family. I thank God for all of the Master Call family this morning. And LaShawn, we are ready to take it away this morning and celebrate the fact that we are here. We are still standing on this Wonder Working Wednesday. God is a wonder worker. God bless you.
Amen, amen. And yes, our host is going to tell us all about our third anniversary. We are excited. We encourage you to go to our website and scroll down to the beginning messages and get seated and spiritually blessed. I'm going to take this call and bring it before our Father. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you so much for the longevity of this call. We thank you so much for the participation in this call. We thank you, Father, for spreading the blood of Jesus over this call and allowing us to be blessed each and every morning. We thank you for the technology that allows us to go back all the way to October 25th, 2010, and listen to the word and be blessed. We thank you, Father God, for the technology that allows us to be on a call together from California to Rhode Island. We thank you, Father. We thank you for the words that come to our lips that praises you. Even if we had 1,000 tongues, we still couldn't thank you enough for all the mighty blessings that you have given to us, Father, Lord God. We thank you for the forgiveness. We thank you for hiding and shielding us behind the blood of the Lamb and giving us everything that we need every morning. Thank you, Jesus, for waking us up. We thank you, Father, for giving us full use of our limbs. We thank you, Father, for the traveling mercy that you have given to all of us, Father, Lord God, as we brave these highways, as we brave these streets, Father, Lord God, because we know that the enemy is out there, but we cast him back down to the pit of hell because we know in the name of Jesus he has no place in your children. We are King's kids, Father, Lord God, and we thank you for that. It is an awesome blessing and an awesome honor to serve a Father such as you, God. Now we ask you, and we say, Jesus, thank you so much for the speaker that's coming this morning. Thank you for clearing the airwaves and the byways. We cast out any demonic spirit that's going to try to interfere with this call. ecstatic. You are a name. Bow down to the name of Jesus. Breaking calls, dropping frequency. You must bow down in the name of Jesus. You are not welcome here, and you are trespassing. So as the mighty man of God comes and gives the word this morning, we touch and agree that we all will receive it and know that we are covered by the blood of the Lamb. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray amen and amen. I am now turning this call over to our host. Everyone be well in the Lord. I love you all.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, and God bless you, my sister LaShawn. Thank you so much for greeting the people of God this morning and for spiritually seeing them. We are celebrating here on the Master's Call. This is Tammy in South Carolina, and I welcome all of you. We are super, super excited to have you on the line. And as Minister LaShawn said, and our founder, Dr. P.K. Roberts, we are celebrating this month. The Master's Call is having the third anniversary, the third birthday, and we are so excited for all of you. You can go to our website, which is the Master's Morning Call. .wordpress.com. Again, the Master's Morning Call, .wordpress.com, to see all of the information regarding our history. But I will tell you, this call was founded on October 25th, 2010. So we are celebrating each and every day. We have a wonderful, wonderful speaker coming up for you this morning. One of our faithful listeners, Ronnie from Washington, is going to come forward and going to speak for 2 minutes. We want to let you know, though, that this call is about the Master. It is the founder, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we're so delighted to have you, as our mission here is to empower, to enrich, and enhance believers. Amen? And we've been doing that for 3 years, the faithful women of God. Dr. Vanessa and Dr. PK have, and they stand on that mission, Psalms 88:13. Oh, but I, O Lord, have cried out to you for help, and in the morning my prayer comes before you. So we do love to pray here on the Master's Call. That is the mission and the mandate, and we want you to be able to be enriched by the messages that you receive each and every day. So we're going to give you a phone number that you can listen to the call as you come on the same day. You will call 712-432-1085, using PIN number 957-677-POUND. The messages are recorded on our website, so again, if you go to our website, you can listen to all of the messages since the inception of this wonderful call, okay? We also have the opportunity for you to reach us by email, and that email address is themastersmorningcall@gmail.com, themastersmorningcall.gmail.com. And to that email address, you would send your feedback, your praise report, and, of course, your prayer request, because, again, that's what we're all about here on the Master's Call, taking those prayer requests for you and bringing them before the Lord. So we want to bless each and every one of you this morning. And as I said, we are going to have a speaker come up for 2 minutes and give us their take on the Master's Call this morning. I'm looking for Ronnie. In Washington, if you will just speak up, and then I will know where you are on the board. Ronnie in Washington, because I do not see your name on the board. Okay. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to just.
You don't see my name.
Is that you speaking? Speak again.
Ronnie? This is Ronnie in Tacoma.
Okay, gotcha. Go ahead, Ronnie, we got you.
I give all praises to the Lord. When the Master Call first came, I didn't even quite understand, it was challenging. I was accustomed to listen to another call, and I felt in the beginning it was a weird conflict because one call would run over and they would run into each other. But it took me a couple of times of understanding God has a way of doing things, and it was a blessing. I was accustomed to hearing Pastor Vanessa on the other call, and I wasn't sure. But you know, if it wasn't for the Master's Call, I would have walked away from artists a long time ago. The consistency of God's people. We don't always understand how God worked things. And I was connected to other people, but these people were in my life. But I praise God for Pastor Witherspoon and Dr. P.K. Roberts. They have blessed my life consistently. Thank God for this call. And when I was at my lowest point and ready to walk away and give up, Pastor PK said, no, you don't hang up. You call me. She told me I sound so depressed. And, you know, and I was like, okay, hold up. Okay, God, these people love me. They got my back. Just help me stay focused. And in my trusting God, I'm still here 3 years later. It's fine.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, we thank you so much, Sister Ronnie. We just love you and want you to know here at the Master's Call, we appreciate you coming on the line this morning and sharing with us as we celebrate 3 years of the Master's Call. And we're so delighted to hear how the Master's Call has been a blessing in your life. Amen. That means that we are on task doing what the Lord has called us to do. And that is also to bring a word to you from the Lord. And we're going to do so this morning. We're going to move full steam ahead with our Pastor Chuck Brown, who is coming to you from New Orleans. Pastor Chuck is the senior pastor of one of the most exciting and powerful ministries in New Orleans, Kingdom Builders Family Worship Center. And for any of you who have not heard Pastor Chuck, you are in for a word from the Lord this morning. He has been teaching us about the power of God. Pastor Chuck, go ahead. The mic is yours, Pastor Chuck.
Praise God. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you so much, my sister. And congratulations to the entire Morning Call listening and family. We bless the Lord for you, Pastor Vanessa, Dr. PK, and all of you, the people of God, who have been blessed as I have throughout these calls over the years. We love you, and we're ready for the Word of God. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And then over in Habakkuk chapter 2, he says in Habakkuk 2:2, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. I've been sharing. I started on last week. The Lord shifted me from walking in the power of God to dealing with the habits of highly victorious people. And then we discovered that a victorious life is a life of success in a struggle against our lives. We've also established that victorious life is a life of freedom. It's a life that overcomes. It's a life of war, but you have the understanding that you will always be victorious. We've set in motion the fact that if we want to have a life of victory, then we have to change our habits, because there are things that people who experience consecutive victories habitually do to be victorious. Therefore, if we want to be victorious throughout our lives, we have to change who we are. I want you to get this. This is a quote from a book of one of my favorite authors, Stephen Covey, who passed earlier this year. But he said something powerful. Victories come before public victories. Private victories come before public victories. That is to say that we must be changed from the inside out. And this change comes as a result of our daily life's activities. If you want victory, then you have to realize there's a cost. You must deserve it, you must earn it, and you have to pay the price for victory. Today I want to deal with the first habit of highly victorious people, vision. What do you see? Vision, what do you see? And I have a couple of principles this morning that I want to share with you. Number one, if you don't have vision for your life, you will live in defeat. If you don't have vision for your life, you will live in defeat. Without vision, people perish. They are defeated. The opposite of victory is defeat. Many of us live in defeat. We perish because we have no vision. The purpose of vision is to give guidance and direction. Vision will ensure everything gets you closer. Somebody recently that I don't have time for idle talk. I don't have time to fellowship for the sake of fellowship. I don't have time to be around folk who can't bring me closer to the fulfillment of what God has called me to do in my life. I have to make sure that every step I take is in the direction of my vision. I have to discipline myself to know that because of my vision and the vision that God has given me, I can't spend time like I used to talking and hanging out and going this place and that place, because the direction that my vision is bringing me to is many times opposite the direction that folk want to bring me to. The Hebrew word translated vision in the scripture that we read in Proverbs 29:18 literally means revelation. Where there is no revelation, the people people perish. The people perish where there's no revelation. They are destroyed where there's no revelation. There's lack where there's no revelation. The people live defeated lives. There is no revelation. In other words, where the principles of God are not revealed, the people go without. The vision that God gives us is a revelation to us from God. It's a glimpse of God's future for us. What is God's future? Is that you will be the head and tail. You prosper even as you prosper, that we overcome in every area of our life. His future for us is that we live out the place in all of us. Future for our lives is that we walk and live according to his purpose and design. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, say the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Listen to me very well, people. There's a difference between a vision. A dream is something hoped for. It's something you wish to come to pass. I always being a supermodel or of being an NBA star. It's not necessarily something that is meant for you, something you wish happened for you. But a vision is a God-given revelation for your future, not what you hope to be, but what God wants you to be. Not what you wish happened for you, but what God wants to happen for you. So what has happened is people have used dream and vision interchangeably. But these words are only interchangeable to those who have experienced the revelation from God. When you receive a God for your life, then your dreams will line up with his design for you. Let me say that again. When you receive a vision from God for your life, your dreams will line up with his design. When you get the revelation from God, then you are consumed with thoughts about that revelation. Almost everything, your conversations take on a new light. Everything you talk about includes the vision that God has given you. There are three types of folk as it relates to vision. And there are wanderers. Wanderers are folk who never see the vision, people who never see the vision. Well, it applies to many Christians today. They never take time to see what God has for their life. They're so busy with routine, going to work, coming home, complaining. Children ready for bed, fuss with their husband or wife, complain about how bad their day is, go to bed, wake, do it all over again without ever realizing that God has more for them. They are content with it and they are oftentimes blinded to what God has promised for their lives. They are clueless to what God wants to give them, and they don't have an idea that it can be better. Those are the wanderers. But then you have dreamers, people who see the vision but never pursue it. People who see the vision but never pursue it. Dreamers are those who only talk about what God is going to do. This is admirable, but talking alone will bring you closer to the of your vision. Positive confession is wonderful, but by meaningful, meaningless. There has to be a corresponding action. Faith without works is dead, being alone. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. When you not only confess that you are free, but also create a plan and work the plan, then you'll see the hand of God move in your life. We have all seen something better for ourselves and know that if we keep doing the same thing that we've been doing, then our conditions will get worse. But if we don't make a change, then we are. It's kind of like you sitting in a chair and you saying, I believe I'll be on the other side soon. You think, my breakthrough is on the way. This is my year to get over there. You're high-fiving five people and you're running around the church. But you at some point are going to have to get up and pursue what God has promised you. The third type of person is a visionary. A visionary is a person who sees and pursues the vision. Victorious people see the vision, but they also live the vision and walk the vision. Everything about them works towards the end. Whatever God showed you, you must pursue it. Here's number two. You must go God is saying to you. You must go up to see what God is saying to you. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1, it reads, the prophet says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall ask when I am. God is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His sight, therefore, is not limited by time like ours is. Our sight is limited by what we see right now, today, in the present. But vision is through the eyes of eternity. So while we're praying about how we're going to make, what are we going to do now and how we're going to make it, he's confused because he doesn't see what we see. He can't see what we see. He only sees eternity. So while we see poverty in our lives, God sees prosperity for us. While we see ourselves sick, God sees us whole. While we see us asking for a ride, God sees us in a Mercedes. He doesn't see our situation like we see our situation. So what must happen is we must open our eyes and see our situation like God sees it. Let me ask you a question. Where does God live? Where is God, figuratively speaking? He's up. God's sight, therefore, is above the line of sight of everybody else. He's not looking from the same level as we are. His sight is above the sight of our problems. You are at a great advantage when you're able to look down on something. In L.A., when I visit, I'm out there pretty often, but in L.A., when criminals are on the run and the police are in pursuit, they realize that the best way to know where the culprit is to call support. The helicopters come in. When they come in, the perpetrator knows immediately that they might as well give up because they can't escape the eyes of the helicopter. When we learn to see like God sees, then we have foresight on where the enemy's next move is. We can see where he is going because we're now looking at our situation like God sees it. God has a holistic view of the situation. He has complete analysis of the situation. Go up and look from where God is. We have to go up to see what God wants. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what God says to me. I have to go higher than where I am to see like God sees. Look, throughout the Bible, we are continuously told to look up. The children of Israel who were dying from snake bites because of their disobedience in the wilderness were told by Moses to look up and live. David said it, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from which comes my help. We have to look up. It's important for us to look up because as we look up, God gives us a glimpse of his future for us. And baby, his future for us is not lack. His future for us is not want. His future for us is not worrying about everything. His future for us is peace. It's joy. It's deliverance. It's encouragement. And as we look up, our mentality is elevated. As we look up, our spirits are lifted. As we look up, we get encouragement. As we look up, we get a different perspective on things. But baby, as long as you're looking down, you're going to keep an earthly perspective on things. But as soon as we look to the hills, we begin to see that our help doesn't come from man. Our help doesn't come from our spouse necessarily. Our help, our success, our glory comes from God. Victorious people will never allow somebody to hold what you've done for them over their head because they know that God is their source. And I'm sorry to tell you, but you're just a channel. So if you stop giving to me, I'll be all right. If you stop helping me, I'll make it. Feel like you're only for me so that you can have something on me, then I'll cut you off as fast as I can because you are not the source of my strength. You are not the source of my you are not the source of my peace, baby. You are not the source of my blessings. God is. And whenever you get out of your place and begin to think that I can't make it without you, God will show up and show you that he is everything I need. Listen to me very carefully. We live under the same sky, but we don't all have the same horizon. We all live under the same sky, but we don't all have the same horizon. Depending on where you are in the United States and possibly even across this world, I'm not sure if this is an international call, but you will see different landscapes in your horizon. If you're traveling through Colorado or certain of California, you may see mountains in your horizon, but if you're in Kansas or New Orleans, you will only see plains in your horizon. The sky has not changed. The sky remains the same, but our horizons are based on where we are. So if you walk in mountaintop experiences, you got to change your position. If you want to experience overcoming victory in your life, you got to change your position. If you want to live at the peak of your life, change where you are. For it is only when you change where you are that your horizons change. And once your horizons change, you can start walking towards that mountain. It may take a while for you to get, but you'll be on the right track. You may not get there tomorrow, but at least every morning when you wake up, you have a glimpse of that mountain. If I keep walking towards the horizon, I'll be looking up from the base of the mountain. Hallelujah. I have hold of that word that if I change where I am, and where I've been. Here's number three. Get an understanding of what God is saying to you. Get an understanding of what God is saying to you. Write the vision and make it plain. When God reveals something to you, write it down, people. You're not smart enough to remember everything that he said. Write down the revelation because then you get clear purpose. I read somewhere where Senator S.I. Hayakawa, he wrote, learning to write is learning to think. You don't know anything unless you can state it in writing. People get an understanding of the directions of God before you move out. If you receive prophecy that you're about to start a business, you can start making preparations, do research, and get information about the particular field that you'll be entering into. But don't quit your job tomorrow. Wait until you know when the business is to start. And all you'll get an understanding. Now, if God says go, by all means move out. God told Abraham to go, but he made David wait for fulfillment of his promise. A lot of folk go overboard and they move out in zeal, and then they get discouraged and work out like they expected it to. There is a process in obtaining the manifestation of the vision. Why write the vision and make him turn? Wouldn't it be better if God gave it to us clearly? No, it would, because there would be no work on your part. And God is always peace. He uses circumstances, trials, tribulation, and such to serve a greater purpose, which is to build us up. When we take the time to write down what God has given to us, we begin to shape the vision. God gives you the end results, but he doesn't show you everything that you're going to have to go through to get there. But through your writing out what he said, you can get clarity of purpose. Check this out. Think about this. If when the Holy Spirit inspired the authors of the Bible and hadn't written it down, a lot of the message would have been lost to us. It's the same way in our lives. When we don't write out what God shows us, we can lose sight later on about what he said. But when we write it out plainly and get clarity on it, we will begin to run with the vision. Here's number four. What you saw is more important than what you see. Somebody needed to hear that point. You tolerated the other, but you wanted to hear this. What you saw is more important than what you see. I need you to understand that you have an appointment with manifestation. Yeah, there is a set time for your vision to come to pass, a specific future fulfillment of vision. Don't get discouraged right now because you don't see it. Remember what you saw. What you saw is more important than what you see. I often think about those I've had to go through. And when he had the vision from God, the dream from God, the prophetic revelation about his future from God, and he was sought out by his brothers, placed in a pit. Joseph had looked at that pit, and he had to say to himself, this is not what God showed me, so this can't be the end for me. Then he went to Potiphar's house. Over there, he got lied on, put in the prison. He looked at that prison wall and said, not what God showed me, so this can't be the end for me. It wasn't until he got to the palace that he started to see the manifestation. And I'm here to encourage somebody right now that you need to hold on to what God showed you. If God did not show you, if what you're seeing right now is not what God showed you, then it's not the end for you. My father often says something, if what you see is not what you saw, then what you see is only temporary. Oh, yeah, if what you see is not what you saw, then what you see is only temporary. Finally, I understand, people of God, that you can't just see it. You gotta get a plan and start taking action. Yeah, remember what I said. If you don't see anything, then you're just wandering aimlessly. I remember being at a restaurant as I closed. It used to be open in New Orleans next to the Superdome called the Top of the Dome. And this restaurant provided an in-depth view of the entire city of New Orleans. And I was able to pick out landmarks that I knew about. And the Holy Ghost gave me a revelation about what the Lord shows us. This is, I was at the top of the dome, and that height allowed me to see my target. So much you get to a high place and see what God has for you. Until you can see above your surroundings, you will never see where you should be. We get to this height in God through intense meditation and intense prayer and fellowship with him, but then we got to get up and take action. Many preachers and teachers have said that all you need is to do is confess. God will respond. Your confession will bring about your possession. Just believe God, and he'll bring everything to pass. We often say, put it in God's hands, but I need you to understand today that God is putting it back into our hands. The main reason why people, especially Christians, are broke, busted, and disgusted is because we refuse to take control of our destiny through action. Jesus always told somebody to do something because their action to what Jesus said determined Jesus' reaction to their faith. Take up your bed and walk. Then man was healed. The disciples get the little boy's lunch. Then I'm going to feed 4,000 one day and 5,000 another. He told the lepers to go, and as they went, they were healed. What am I saying? I'm saying that our action now determines God's reaction. You can sit here year after year and hear the best word you ever heard, but until you determine within yourself that you're going to move out, you're going to stay in the same condition. Stop getting excited about the word and God's promises if you don't plan on applying it. You're wasting your time. But you need to get, if you want to have a victorious life, get a vision, write the vision, make it plain, and then act upon your vision. And I believe God with you. I'm standing in agreement, and I'm, in fact, I'm going to pray the rest of this week that God will help you to get exactly what you need to bring your vision to pass for your family, for your job, for your future, for your finances. God bless you. I pray that this word touched and blessed you in some kind of a way. Be blessed.
Praise God. God bless you. God bless you, man of God, Pastor Chuck. We praise God for you for the word this morning. Amen, amen. We're going to have you come back and give the benediction. We're going to go before the Lord this morning. Just want to remind you all right now that it is time for Godmother Dorothy Cook's call. So I'm going to give you that number for those of you who have to go. We want you to know that number is 605-475-7000. 605-475-7000. PIN is 476-895-POUND. 476-895-POUND. We thank all of you for joining us here. We're going to go before the Lord to bring our prayer requests before the Lord, and then we're going to have Pastor Chuck come and give us our benediction before we bid you all good morning for the day. Father God, we come before your throne of grace this morning, Lord God. Humbly, Lord God, but thankful, Lord God, and boldly knowing that we can come to you for help. Father, we thank you for the man of God who's brought your word this morning, Lord God. We lift up to you now, Father God, our prayer request. But first, we have to say thank you, Lord God. We have to say thank you for being our master, Lord God. We say thank you, Lord God, for being our redeemer, for being our healer. Oh, God, our Jehovah Jireh. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for the blessings, Lord God. We want to thank you for those that we lift up now to you, Lord God. For Arthur Henry, Lord God, for Papa Preston, Father God, for Evangelist Gwen Beatty and for Jana Roberts. Father God, you know the request that they have, Lord God. You know, Father God, what they stand in need of. Lord God, we know that sickness, Lord God, did not come to take us, Lord God, in death. But all sickness did not come for that. But it came to give you glory through the Son. So, Father, we speak to breast cancer. We speak to ailments in the body. We speak to every infirmity. Our Father has taken it to the grave, and he has given us victory, Lord God. By the stripes of Jesus, we are already healed. So we speak healing over Papa Preston and Arthur Henry. Lord, we speak complete and total healing over Gwen Bay and Janet Roberts. We speak, Lord God, your healing, Father God, your divine, Lord God, Rapha healing. But Father, we send peace to them, to the families, Lord God, on today. Father, we ask you to be with them and walk with them, Father. Continue to be their shepherd, Lord, and guide them in each and every vision that you have given them for their lives. So, Father, we thank you that you hear our prayers and that you do answer and that you're faithful. Father, bless the word that we received on this day, and we thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Pastor Chuck, if you'll give us a benediction, then we'll close for the day. Well, we thank Pastor Chuck for joining us. He had to get off of the line, but we want to thank all of you on the master's call. And as we go forward for this day, we want to say God bless you. To each one of you, we love you, and we thank you, and we seal this word in your heart. We seal this word in your spirit. We plead the blood of Jesus over each and every one of you. God bless you. Go out and be ministers in the marketplace, and we will hear you on the call tomorrow. Bye-bye for now.